Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk about all kinds of things. What's Jared going to be doing next week? Got caught right there in the old throat. All right, anyway, we'll find out where's Jared going? Why is it just going to be me next week? We'll ask him what he's looking forward to. What's going on this weekend? NBA Finals Game 2, Phoenix up 2-0. Lots of questions. Is there an answer for the Bucks? Are we never going to really get to appreciate Giannis's greatness in this series because the Bucks are going to get drilled? Will the home court be the magic potion for the Bucks' other guys to kick it in gear? Or is Phoenix just simply too much? Big 12 preseason poll was released yesterday. We talked about it at the end of the show. I will spill that for you. Name, image, likeness. See the story this morning? It has reached the high school ranks in basketball.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, this is a byproduct of, I guess it is. I'll tell you that. And then, man, oh, man, did I see some good baseball games yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Up at Woodward in the OK Kids 10U Regional Tournament. I'll spell that out right here at the top of the show. And also, something that didn't make the sheet that we both just kind of came across. Some drunken bloke over at the Scottish Open sauntered onto the first tee with Rory McIlroy and John Rahm. Took a club out of Rory's bag and just kind of acted like he's going to hit a shot. It's a pretty good video. Yeah. We'll talk about that, too. All right, so I had all this kind of in the rundown, what I thought we might talk about. And then I see this video over at the Scottish Open. I guess it's actually the 10th tee where Rory and John Rahm are getting ready to go. And this dude just – and when he first gets there, like he's going – and he's trying to pull the driver out of the bag, right? And he grabs a hold of the head cover, and as he's trying to pull the driver out of the bag, it doesn't work real well, and so he pulls the head cover off of Rory's driver. And at first, like his caddy and Rory, and even Rahm, they're just kind of like,
"What's it? Who's this
all
guy?"
All right, this guy. Well, at first, it's kind of like, okay. And then when he kind of thinks
he's supposed to be there.
Supposed to be there, yes. But when he doesn't get the driver and the head cover cleanly out of the bag, and has to go back for another, and he got some sort of iron, that's when they all kind of did a double or triple take, like, who the hell is this guy? What is he doing? But you know what's pretty crazy? How calm everybody is.
Yeah.
Even the guy. I mean, he's just a balding, middle-aged Scot who clearly stayed out at the pub way too long. I've seen two different videos. One was kind of from in front, and this other one's off to the side where he walks right to the camera. And to say his eyes are bloodshot is a giant understatement. The dude is probably still feeling his oats. But it's pretty wild how he just has a hand in his pocket as he goes around Rory's caddy, goes to grab it, and nobody really does anything until he doesn't get the club cleanly out of the bag. And when he doesn't get the club cleanly out of the bag, Rory has his hands in his pockets, kind of looks back and goes, uh-oh, we got a problem. And then he goes and sets the head cover over, like he's at one point. I'm thinking, is he about to smash the head cover with his iron?
Yeah, yeah.
He gets, you know, kind of.
He's looking down the fairway.
Yeah, he gets a waggle or two in. Never quite gets to the point of taking a swing.
He's struggling too. To stand up. Watching the video again.
Yeah, he's
different
using,
angle.
Kind of, yeah, the angle from kind of right of the tee, just in front and right. Yeah, and so
it's like the guy's calmly talking to him.
Yeah, watch when he are you.
Oi, you can't take the bloodied club.
Have you got all the way to the end yet?
No.
Where you see him right up next to the camera? I mean, you can see into his eyes.
Oh, dear.
And you're looking into the eyes of a very drunk human being.
Oh, man.
He hands the club back. He keeps the head cover, though. Look at him. And finally, they take the head cover. So here's what's pretty funny to me.
What's that?
It's over in Scotland. I think, you know, there's a bunch of different restrictions next week at the British Open on the players.
Yeah.
Yet they're going to allow like 33,000 fans.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on from that. The fans are on the tee box over there, Scotland.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's move on to you know, normalcy.
Wow. That's funny.
That was pretty good stuff for a Friday just to start
off. Yeah, I think their reaction was what they were taught to do. It's like, don't approach somebody like, because you don't know how dangerous they
are. That's true.
So they just stood there.
I wonder if that reaction would have been the same in America. I feel like we're a little bit more high-strung about that, and the dude definitely would have hit the ground.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely would have been tackled, right?
Yeah.
Instead, this guy gets to walk off the tee with the head cover still in his hand, and then they finally wrestle it away from him, or he hands it off.
What if it was John Rahm is right there?
Yeah.
He's a big guy. What if it was his? What do you think he would have done?
Man, I don't know. He's a little bit more of a short fuse than Rory.
That's what I'm saying. You kind of see that on the golf course.
Would he have just ripped the club out of the guy's hand, snapped it over his leg, and just stabbed him in the chest with it?
I think John Rahm was kind of looking at Rory like, do you know this guy? Is he with you?
Yeah, everyone.
They're kind of looking at each other.
Well, it was
who is that guy? Is that your friend?
It was so shocking. Like,
weird.
What's going on?
People are weird.
And he had it pulled off. He really had it pulled off if he just would have got the driver out. The first time. Because he
was trying to be real nonchalant.
He was smooth enough about it walking by like, okay, some guy's just going to, you know, check out Rory's club and then hand it back to him. But then when he didn't get it done and had to go back, that's when they got to look at him and go, whoa, wait a minute. This guy isn't supposed to be here.
Wow.
And he smells of Guinness and bangers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Good stuff.
That's not good stuff. You shouldn't do that, fans. Come on.
It's pretty funny.
Be better. I know I won't do that when I go to Augusta next year.
Oh, yeah? Have you got your acceptance in the email yet?
I'm pretty confident that that's going to happen.
Wearing my shirt today.
I noticed that.
Well, it's getting pretty close. You know, mid-July is when normally your rejection letter gets there.
When the rejection letter.
It's kind of like Red in Shawshank.
Oh, where he's always up for parole.
Yep, always up for rejection.
Yeah.
That's the way it feels.
And then when you finally get it, you're not going to know how to act. You don't know, like Red, he didn't know how to act outside the walls of Shawshank.
I will know how to act inside the grounds of Augusta, I promise you. I will know. I'll probably be so careful, I won't even have any fun, because I'll be so scared about getting kicked out.
I would be too.
But anyway. Well, let's hope we get to talk about that. Last night, man, I saw three fantastic baseball games up at Woodward. Okay, kids, 10U regional tournament. The first two were elimination games. Woodward and Watonga was game one. It was a seesaw back and forth game. When I got there, Woodward was up, I think, 7-5 in like the third inning. Watonga got 3 runs, made it 8-7. Woodward scored a run in the fourth, made it 8-8. Both teams had runners on, I think, second, and for sure second, maybe even third in the fifth inning. Neither could push a run across, so then it went to extra innings. Woodward was the road team in this scenario. They scored 2 in the sixth to make it 10-8. Watonga scores a run, has second and third, one out. So it's 10-9. Okay. Woodward's ahead.
Right.
Watonga hitting with second and third, one out. Kid hits a bouncer to the pitcher. Bang, bang play at the plate. Woodward gets the out. So 2 outs now, but runner's still on second and third because in the confusion of the play at the plate, the kid that hit the ball from Watonga got to second
because
there was nobody there
because
everybody's rushing in to figure out what happened. So it's still second and third, 2 outs now. So the second out was made at the plate. Pass ball. Mm. Watonga runner gets just a hair of a late jump.
Uh-oh.
And the catcher from Woodward did a fantastic job. It was one of those, like, when the pitch was coming, it almost looked like he knew, uh-oh, because it was clearly going to be in the dirt.
Yeah.
So he was already kind of up and ready to run for it while trying to catch it all at the same time.
Yeah.
And he knocked it down just enough, because a lot of times, because it went pretty high up in the air.
Yeah.
And usually that'll have, you know, like top spin and spin to the backstop.
Right, right, right.
This one, he got enough of a glove on it that he kind of, you know how you, when you try to pick it and it hits the back of your hand, goes straight up in the air. That's what this did, but it knocked some of that spin off to where when it landed pretty soft, and he was able to get back there, get it, throw the pitcher, and it was clearly out number three. Just crushing if you're Watonga.
Oh,
the last two outs of your season came trying to tie the game at home play.
Ugh.
So that was a pretty good start to the day. Then the Sarah Eagles and Alva played 2 years ago in the Coach Pitch Regional. Those two teams played an elimination game that came right down to the wire. Sarah got a walk-off hit to win by one. Last night, same thing. It was Alva's up 2-0. Sarah got ahead 3-2. Alva tied at 3-3. Go to the bottom of the fifth. Jet gun on first, stole around to second. Colt hit a little kind of a bouncer or a little kind of a pop up over the pitcher's head in between the shortstop, so it landed.
Yeah.
Jet got to third. Then Colt's to second. Nobody out. Runners on second and third. Just need to get the ball past the pitcher, basically. And who's at the plate? Old Compton.
Well, there we go.
And so, you know, I told one of my buddies that's on the coaches of the Kingfisher team, like, man, you just never really know. Because in my mind, when it went to the fifth inning, right, you're thinking, I know what our lineup is.
Yeah.
I'm like, God. Well, I hope they don't score a run or two. Then it gets down to nobody on, two out, and the whole season could end with your kid at the plate, right?
Right.
So you, which is probably a horrible way to think about it, but that's the first thing that popped in my mind.
Well, I mean, it just you
you don't want to be your kid to make the last out of the year.
That, and it, for me, it always felt when that scenario came up, my heart rate would just go up, and I'm just getting really nervous, right? Is that one of the things, too? That's, at least that is for me.
I wasn't overly nervous.
You're calmer than me, I can tell you that.
And sure enough, hit it right up the middle for the walk-off run.
Good.
Two times. I bet I was tired of that.
Oh, dude.
They were good. Yeah. It was a back-and-forth good game. And then the nightcap was the Crushers and Kingfisher. Kingfisher got ahead 3-0 in the first inning. Never scored again. But Elk City could only muster one. And so Kingfisher is in the regional final, guaranteed in the state tournament with that win last night, 3-1 over Elk City. So then today it'll be Sarah and Woodward, which that was the first game where Woodward came back from down 4-0 to beat us, 5-4.
Right. Right.
So that is the first elimination game. Whoever wins that will then play the Crushers for a spot in the state tournament and a spot in the regional final tomorrow. So it's been really – you know, sometimes the games are close, but it's not very well played.
Right.
It's been pretty well played
for the
most part. Yeah,
I think you start to see that at this
time
of the year, and the cream of the crop starts to rise.
The scores start getting less
right.
and less as you go.
Right.
You know, pitching gets better, and so, yeah, the defense gets better. You don't get away with little bloops. And,
yeah. And they played how many games so far this season?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's
a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot. So.
That's awesome.
Fun stuff up there.
Good.
And more to come today.
Great.
Did you see what happened this morning?
This morning?
This morning.
No.
Okay, so the number two recruit in the 2023 basketball class.
I saw something about this.
Jalen Lewis is his name. He's a center, five-star center, Oakland, California.
Okay.
Being recruited by everybody. Kentucky, Duke, UCLA were among the favorites to land him. Instead, something called Overtime Elite League has landed him, and it's landed Jalen Lewis $1 million-plus contract at the age of 16.
Oh, boy.
He is now the youngest professional basketball player in an American basketball
right.
player ever.
Right. This league is right here in America. It's not in Australia. It's not in Europe.
Not 100% sure, to be quite honest.
Okay.
It's brand new.
Well.
Obviously mirroring what the G League is.
Okay, yeah.
But, so I guess my question is this. He's 16. So if he's a class of 2023, that would make him what? Going to be a junior?
Yes. You know, seniors right now are 22, so
that's right.
Juniors are 23.
So at what point is he draft eligible?
Don't you have – what are the rules now? 1 year out of
– out of high school?
Or is it – do you have to be
– I mean, it's one and done.
There's the one and done. I didn't know – is that an age thing or is it a 1 year out of high school thing?
I think it's just 1 year out of high school. But at six, I mean, but he wouldn't be out of high school next year.
No, that's – yeah. So is he getting this money now?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Why go to school?
He's going to play professional basketball at the age of 16 in the overtime elite league.
So is he dropping out of high school to go do this?
I guess so.
Oh, this is where we got a problem. To me.
Yeah, he's the youngest to ever turn pro in American basketball.
Now, we're guessing here he drops out of high school. Hopefully that's not the case.
Well, you have to.
This is where we got a problem.
You're a pro.
Now,
he's a pro.
Yeah.
He can't go to high school. He can't play in high school games. He's a pro. Here's the deal about it. It seems ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But if this guy was a cello player or a singer or a chemist or a pianist or something totally something like that, nobody would even bat an eye. The argument is always, oh, my gosh, you're going to ruin their lives. How many child actors have had their lives ruined?
That's a good point.
At 10 years old.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, this is a heck of a gamble. What if he doesn't pan out to be as good as they say?
What if
he does? He's got his money now with this deal, and then he gets drafted, and he's a bust, and eventually down the road he's out of the league. What's he have to fall back on? Hopefully he has some smart parents to help manage his
million bucks.
Money.
Yeah. But what if it works?
Well, then it works.
Yeah, but what does that mean for – like you said, why would you go to school? Right. Why would you go to college?
No, I mean, if you're making money, that's the whole idea, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the end game. You know, get an education, get a good job, and get paid. So, yeah, I mean, this is getting paid. But back to my point, what if it doesn't work? I certainly hope –
oh, I think at this point everybody thinks it won't, right? I mean, if you had to give odds – on working or not working, you would certainly lean to not working.
Well, the odds of a guy who went to school for 4 years, college for 4 years, got drafted in the was a lottery pick, and is still successful. And those odds are slim. Not everybody is guaranteed to make the league.
Oh, for sure, but I mean,
my point is that the odds, you're right. The odds are against. Yeah.
And less in favor of that guy than the 22-year-old senior.
Right.
I think it's going to be fascinating because I was wondering about, like, NIL stuff with high school. And I guess this isn't really that, but it's kind of a spawn off of that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he clearly can't play for his – I mean, he's going to have to drop out of school, so he's not going to play high school.
I guess he could go to school. But just not play.
Can't play because he's lost his
eligibility.
Amateur status.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I guess you could go to school and not play. But what's to keep.
He has enough money to hire a tutor.
What's to keep somebody here from looking out there and going, quarterback of the Big Elks is Drake Hughes?
Right.
What's to keep him from getting paid money?
I don't know how far of
how
a
far reaching this is.
NIL is. I don't know.
I mean, the NCAA allowed it for their players, but it was coming down the pike from state legislatures.
Right. I wonder.
Does that dip down all the way?
This is a great question for the OSSAA. We need to have them on.
Does it dip down into the high school ranks?
I mean, we would love that. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have the Skinny on Sports logo on the back of Drake Hughes' helmet or something. Or anybody. Come on. I was thinking about that. Can we sponsor a Swazoo football player?
I asked one of the Southwestern golfers. I saw him
there you go. Can we
a week ago
a
Thursday.
Yeah.
Right the day it came out.
Yeah.
At the scramble at Sayre. And I asked him, so what kind of deals have you signed? And he just kind of giggled. He's like, yeah, you know, Bar-S gave me 100. I mean, he was totally joking, but you know, Jerry threw in a hungry traveler and whatnot. So anyhow, but that, I thought that was really fascinating to what that does. And then, of course, obviously extrapolate that out to college basketball. Where is college basketball at? How much does this affect them? Or is this just like a one-off, one guy or two every year?
Okay, let's go even further. What stops teams like the Thunder, the Lakers, saying, you know what? We're going to form a team and join this league, and we're going to funnel it down to where – you see what I'm saying? You see
but
where
they've
I'm going
already got
this?
That.
The G League.
The G League.
I know.
They've already
but
got that
team.
But
this is like a step below it, or is it a similar league with the same age of players?
I mean, obviously –
but they're going to get a bunch of 16 and 17 year olds.
So if this does fall underneath name, image, and likeness, can this be like a G League for college? See what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
Or is this a contract for basketball? It sounds like it's a contract for basketball, which would eliminate Jalen Lewis from playing college basketball, right? Because that's the thing about the NIL. They're not being paid to play.
No.
They're being paid for their endorsement stuff.
Right. There's not a base salary for everybody. It's how much
that's
they
right.
Can go
that's
and
right.
Earn. Yes.
And it sounds like this just broke right as I was finishing up our rundown, and so the details are a little bit sketchy, but from the first reporting on it from Shams Charania, he makes it sound like he signed a contract with this league for basketball. You know what I'm saying? It's a basketball contract, not a name, image, likeness. But it's certainly something to watch. Mm-hmm. All right, Big 12 preseason poll did come out yesterday.
We were almost close.
We were pretty close. Oklahoma, Iowa State, Texas, OSU, TCU, and then a big drop to the other. It feels like there's a definite, at least in the preseason, two tiers.
Yes.
And it's actually split dead in half of the conference. There's a top five and a bottom five. Because when you look at the point totals between 3, 4, and 5, Texas with 273, OSU 266, TCU 255. So only a 18-point difference between 3 to 5. It's 100 down to number 6 at West Virginia at 155. So, you know, there's a clear, in a lot of people's minds, top five. There's also a clear number one. I'm a little surprised that Oklahoma wasn't the unanimous choice. Not simply because of what they got coming back, but at some point, how many you gotta win in a row before, you know what I'm saying, before you just go throw up your hands and go, well, they're going to win again.
Do they reveal who voted?
Oh, I'm sure they do at some point. But
I'm going to guess one of the votes came
from Robert
Ames.
Allen.
One of them came from Ames. The other one came from Stillwater and maybe a couple in Austin.
Anyway, 35.
I just can't stand it.
35. I think it's not they can't stand it. I think you want to be able to say there's that ego part of it that
I picked Iowa State.
I picked them.
I'm one of the four.
So it's Oklahoma and Iowa State were pretty clearly ahead of the other three. So, you know, it remains to be seen for me if Iowa State is really in that there or if they're more in that next group down.
You know, a lot of people think on this station that the league itself as a whole is going to be good because of all the returning talent and the potential talent that's going to step up. And a lot of that is because of COVID, and there's a lot of players that are just able to come back, but same can be said about the entire country if you think about it. And then there's a lot of people, or there's one guy that thinks, and you'll hear him next, who thinks it's Oklahoma and everybody else. He says, yeah, Iowa State's clearly the number two team, but man, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Pat is completely that way.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm on that train yet.
I don't either, because Iowa State beat Oklahoma and played them tough in the Big 12 title game.
Right.
But here's the thing. I think when you look at it through Pat's eyes, in my mind, he's also thinking, okay, Iowa State has kind of maxed out, and how can they deal with the pressures that they've never had to deal with?
Historically, they haven't dealt with it well.
Well, I mean, they've never had it.
They've had.
I mean, when we thought they might be like a middle of the tier conference team, they've been pretty bad at times. Mm-hmm. You know, and last year people thought they were going to be pretty, and they were. but they had the early stumble against Louisiana, you know, right out of the gate.
Some of their wins, just looking at last year's schedule, and this was brought up too on this station about, you know, they weren't dominating a ton of people. They beat TCU by 3. Of course, they beat OU by 7. They lost Oklahoma State. They beat Baylor by 7. Texas by 3. Of course, they lost Oklahoma in the Big 12 title by 6. I mean, there's close games there that,
right. That
let's face it, could have gone the other way.
Well, no, they haven't beat Iowa since, what, 2014? I mean, that game is huge for them.
It is, because
it is so
Iowa,
huge.
There's a lot of expectations for Iowa, too.
Iowa's like a top 20
the
team
entire
in some
state of
them.
Iowa football is pretty good right now.
Yeah, and so I think going into it, I mean, there's no way I'm putting Iowa State on Oklahoma's level. I'm not saying that at all. Right. I don't know if I would put them down into that other tier completely. Maybe they're right on the line. But, I mean, OU's clearly the favorite and the most talented team in the league and have proven that year after year after year here lately. And when you think about those teams from last year and what's coming back, I think there's a much larger potential for growth out of Oklahoma than there is out of Iowa State, if that makes sense. Because, for one, expect, you know, the quarterback position can get – we saw what it could be at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability that Rattler has.
You saw the game literally slow down for him.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, watching that guy in that, and I get it, Florida had guys out, but it's still the SEC talent, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And even against Iowa State the second time versus the first time.
Right.
Looked like a totally different guy. So, I mean, obviously, if you're picking who's going to win this conference, you have to pick Oklahoma, unless you just want to be different, unless you just want to try to look smart at the end of the year. Where Iowa State fits in, how close they are to Oklahoma, I think we'll know in the second game of the year. Are they a true challenger, or are they just in the mix to be in the Big 12 title game? You know, are they closer to OU, or are they closer to TCU?
Right.
I think we'll find that out against Iowa. And then everybody else has question marks, and you know, there's you could see any of those emerge to be that challenger that Iowa State kind of emerged out of that pack last year by winning those close games. Somebody's going to do it. Just remains to be seen who it's going to be.
Yeah.
But overall, I think that the takeaway is Oklahoma's clearly the favorite in this conference, and there's two tiers in this league for sure between the top five and the bottom five.
I tell you this, I hope Iowa State and OU are both undefeated on November 20th.
Be sweet. You know, Heather Dinich.
Yeah.
She's predicting two Big 12 teams in the playoff. Those yeah. two.
Fine
Not
bomb.
Sure how
Fine
that.
Bomb's bald head almost exploded when she said it, too.
Hey, it'd have been funny to see a meme of it exploding and that OU cap he had to put on after the Alabama Sugar Bowl come out. Anyway, we're getting close. Big 12 Media Days next week. And at that point, we're like a month and a half away. Like That's 6 weeks.
Let's go.
Whoa.
That's cool.
All right, explain to everybody the video we just watched.
I'm glad I didn't watch that live on air because I probably would have cussed. There's a group of looks like teenagers at Topgolf somewhere. I don't know where. And this is from Barstool Sports, by the way, on Facebook. So look it up. Go check it out. And it's raining, but, you know, if you've ever been to Topgolf, you can pretty much Topgolf in any type of weather. They have heating bays and all that stuff, and you're covered. Well, he hits the ball, and then lightning strikes inside the course of Topgolf. Well, if that's not crazy enough, they got that on film. They slow it down, and it appears that the lightning hit the ball mid-flight that this guy just hit. Unreal. I don't see how you could fake that either. That looks – it looked authentic to me. That is crazy. Crazy. I mean, if you didn't think it was crazy enough that the lightning hit inside the Topgolf course.
Yeah, what is it, 300 yards long or 350 long?
I mean,
long
that's pretty dang
100 yards
jarring
wide.
And crazy and scary itself, but it actually hit the ball.
That was wild.
Man.
Whoa. Very wild.
Crazy stuff. Anyways, welcome back.
We've seen some really cool videos.
We've seen some crazy stuff.
Some guy
stuff.
Took a club out of Rory's bag and then a lightning bolt hits a golf ball.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome. All right.
You know what? I'll go ahead and share that on the old Skinny
there you go,
on
yeah.
Sports Facebook
Yeah, you can
page.
Check it out. Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Phoenix goes up 2-0 last night in the NBA Finals. 118-108 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee came out with a ton of aggression in the first quarter. Actually led the game by as many as 9 at one point. But in the second quarter, Phoenix's defense put the clamps on the Bucks, only allowing 16 second-quarter points. And when you look at the quarter-by-quarter scores, Milwaukee won the first quarter. They won the third quarter. They tied in the fourth quarter. Problem was the 14-point deficit in the second quarter, in which Phoenix outscored them 30-16. The Suns get 31 from Devin Booker. He struggled from behind the arc in the first game at 1 of 8, 7 of 12 last night. So 31 for Booker, 23 from Chris Paul, a career-high 27 from Mikal Bridges. And, man, at this point, it's one of those – when you watch the first two games in this series, you're thinking, how in the world do the Bucks? What do they have an answer for what Phoenix is doing offensively?
I don't know. I mean, when Giannis goes 42-12 and still lose by 10, they started right out the gate, Giannis with the slam and the way the Bucks started in the first quarter, he thought, okay, this is going to be a tight game that could go either way, kind of what I thought it would be. But then once the Suns grabbed the lead, it's like they never wanted to let it go. And the way after watching the game last night, I was thinking, this is how you sum it up. Giannis was good. The Suns were better.
Yeah, and the problem for Milwaukee is it wasn't necessarily the same other guys. You know, in game one, it was 22-19 from DeAndre Ayton. Last night, it was 8 of 15, 27 points from Mikal Bridges. When you look at this series, Chris Paul has gotten help.
Yeah.
Giannis has not. Through two games, all five starters for the Phoenix Suns have been plus in the plus minus in both games. Through two games for the Milwaukee Bucks, one player has been plus, one starter has been plus for both games for the Bucks, and that's been Giannis. And he's out there playing on one damn leg, and he's got to be looking at Chris Middleton going, come on, dude, make a shot. Just make one. You know, Middleton and Drew Holiday, 12 of 37 last night, 2 of 9 from 3, combined for 28. And now Holiday played really good defense on CP3. Really good defense. So at least he's kind of contributing at one end of the floor, but the problem for the Bucks is they have to have him on the other end. You know, Giannis 15 of 22. Like you said, 42-12. That is an all-timer of a game.
Yeah.
You know one of the main differences between the flu game and Giannis's one-legged 42-12 last night?
The flu game he won?
That's right. I mean, but that's the type of performance that Giannis put on last night. In a game that you would think Milwaukee had to have if they were going to win this series. It's going to be hard to come back from 2-0 down now. And Middleton could not make a shot, and he just didn't get enough help. Now, we've seen this throughout the history of the NBA playoffs. Those role player type guys play way better at home than they do on the road.
We've seen it in these playoffs.
And we've seen it in these playoffs. Absolutely we have. And so are we looking trying really hard not to completely overreact and go Phoenix wins this series in five, which is what you predicted in the first place.
Thank you.
But, I mean, obviously, you know what this feels like? It feels like Milwaukee wins game three, Phoenix wins game four, and they close it out in five. That's what it feels like.
That's exactly how I foresaw it. Exactly like that. No, maybe not in that order, but I saw Suns coming out, winning games one and two, splitting on the road, and finishing
right
up at home.
That's what it feels like. But, I mean, think back just right here in the old Oklahoma City area. Both Spurs series, one in 2012 in the Western Conference Finals, the next one in the semifinals in 2016. Through two games on the road, you thought, damn, Oklahoma City's got no shot.
Right.
And they, in both of those, they reeled off four in a row to win.
Right. It's possible.
It's definitely possible. And but Milwaukee has to they have to have Chris Middleton play. He has to make shots. Because it's becoming obvious that Giannis, I said yesterday, Giannis and Chris Paul will kind of X each other out. Well, here's what Giannis is going to X out whoever from the Suns plays the best that night. Because he's just going to.
Yeah.
He's a super duper duper star. It's going to happen. But those other guys have got to do better. And if you're a Bucks fan or rooting for the Bucks, you hope, okay, home court's that magic potion to get the role players playing better, knocking down shots. And next thing you know, when we come in here on, what, Wednesday, this series is tied 2-2, headed back to Phoenix. I don't think the odds of that happening are great.
No.
But, like I said, we've seen this before, though, when, oh, my gosh, there is no way. And then it happens. And I think the home court thing is a big deal for those role players. The problem, I think, for the Bucks, you know, CP, he was 10 of 20, 23 and 8 assists. I mean, he was good. But it wasn't one of those, like, you got him on a little bit of an off night. Like, not the awesome, awesome, awesome night.
A lot of people would take 23
points.
Oh, for
sure. But
night.
But I mean, yeah. He's had 75 in the last two games. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that total Chris Paul performance. And you get it from Giannis, and you lose by 10.
That's
even more you lose double digits when you get 42 from him.
Right. Yeah, that again, back to what I said, it's, you know, Giannis was good, but the Suns were better. The Suns were great. It is the role players that are defining the series early.
And Booker was awesome. No, let's not gloss over that.
Right.
Booker was awesome. 7 of 12 from 3. You know what? I didn't really know. You know, right after they won the Western Conference Finals out in L.A., they asked Chris Paul about, you know, what made you want to play in Phoenix. And he said Devin Booker, because Devin Booker has a bunch of Kobe in him. And then, you know, then you hear the stories of, oh, yeah, Kobe thought Devin Booker had Kobe in him. Man, some of the shots, that's what he looked like last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Milwaukee played pretty good defense on a lot of those shots, and it just wasn't good enough. And Booker was knocking him down. I mean, I saw a stat today, ESPN stats in info. Devin Booker's now fourth all-time with 459 points in his first postseason run. It's fourth all-time. Behind Rick Barry, who's like 62 points behind. Rick Barry lost in the finals. Dr. J had 518. Rick Barry, 521. Dr. J, 518. He lost in the finals. And then number three, you know who that is?
Who's that?
Just this year. Trae Young, 461. Oh. Lost in the conference finals. You know what that tells me? These guys were having unbelievable, superhuman performances and losing. Devin Booker's doing this on a team that's about to hoist the Larry O'Brien.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
It starts to beg the question of, you know, assuming things go that we think they are, Suns winning. Well, how many more are they going to win if they keep this intact?
Yeah, it's, you know.
Listen, Chris Paul can't play forever.
That's it. And Chris Paul, I don't know.
I hope it doesn't happen, but how many times have you seen, I mean, what would it be like? You know, he's been questing for this his entire career, just like everybody. But he's been on the verge. I mean, he's been almost to the top of the mountain, finally gets to the finals, looks like they probably going to take care of it and win it. And he's like, man, I finally got it. And could he quit? Could he?
Maybe.
Could he say, that's it?
He might.
I got it. I'm going to end on top. This career is done. My journey is over. I hope it doesn't happen. I'd like to see him go.
Because then you don't care. I mean,
yeah, you know,
even if he falls off the age cliff like everybody's going to at some point, you don't care because he won.
Right.
And it's not like he won the title limping around and somebody else did it for him. This dude is one of the two main parts of this championship if it does happen.
Right.
He and Booker have scored 113 through the first two games of the finals. That is the most ever for a starting backcourt, or most since 1971, when starters started being tracked. Suns were 20 of 40 from three. I mean, you're not going to win very many games when you give up 20 of 40.
No.
On the Giannis front, you know who he's starting to remind me of his career? Dirk.
Yeah.
Foreign, started slow, got better, all of a sudden was great before you really realize how, I mean, he won the MVPs before Dirk did or whatever. But, you know, kind of always climbing the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And always kind of needing a little bit more help. Or at least it appears that right now. He had 20 in the third quarter last night. He was the first player since MJ back in 1993 to score 20 in a quarter in a finals game. You know what's interesting about that?
Mm.
Both of those games were against the Suns.
Yeah.
And then he also, it was his, for Giannis, 10th 30-point, 10-rebound game this postseason. Four other guys have that. You think you're going to know these names?
Probably not.
Yeah, you will. Oh. Shaq, Hakeem, Elgin Baylor, and Kareem.
Okay.
Is who he's on that list with. So, Suns 2-0. Headed back to Milwaukee Sunday for Game 3. Obviously, a must-win for Milwaukee. Nobody's ever come down 3-0. Come back from down 3-0 in the NBA playoffs to win a series.
Real quick, Milwaukee, small market team, very very similar to the Thunder, so a lot of people can appreciate what they've done and where they're at right now. Win or lose, does this help them moving forward?
You got
Giannis locked in. My point is, can they attract free agent talent to come to Milwaukee?
I think so, because
that's been the biggest problem for Oklahoma City. You're not going to attract that talent to come to Oklahoma City willingly. You either trade for him or draft him.
Yeah,
can it happen in Milwaukee?
I think so, because I think people want to play with Giannis. And I think part of the difference between this and that was everyone was so young in OKC.
Yeah.
The whole core. And so it was hard to maybe talk one of those veterans into it because they were so young. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, everybody was 22 when they went to the finals the first time. You know, Perkins was traded for or whatever. But then, you know, I think we kind of, I mean, in a few ways, we saw a little bit later on a little bit more willingness than there was before. Just a little.
The biggest thing that the Thunder had going for him was Sam Presti's ability to get guys like Perk, Derek Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, you saw a buyout guy like Fisher.
Well, my point is getting them here, and then they were, oh, this isn't just in the middle of nowhere. This is a great place to be. You know what I mean? The players always left. Reggie Jackson obviously wanted out. I don't even know if it was a cultural thing. He just wanted out of the – he'd like to be in the shadow, basically.
Right.
But my point is, once they got here, it was – you know, Perkins still raves about his time in Oklahoma City. And –
Chris Paul does as well.
Chris
he was just
Paul,
here a year.
Yeah, and just they're like, hey, you know, it's a great place to play. The culture's fantastic. The organization's fantastic. You know, I think that's a big part of Sam Presti's strategy of going, I'm always going to leave these guys happy because they can go out and spread that out to the rest of the league and go, listen, it's not a bad place to play.
I think it's 100% correct. And I think he has to.
Yeah.
Because of the restraints that the market provides.
Yeah, I mean, there's no beaches. There's no,
right.
You know, palm trees. But those players who have lived in Oklahoma City for even a short amount of time go, it's not a bad place to live.
And you know what else they are, though? They're like basketball nerds.
Yeah.
Not the nightlife. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, Jared.
Yes.
You are not going to be here
next week. No, I'm going to be on vacation.
Where are you going?
We're going to the beach, Navarre Beach, Florida.
Navarre Beach, Florida.
You heard of it?
No. Town? Is there
a... I believe it's a town.
Is this a Destin area? Where are we at?
Yeah, it's west of Destin. It's kind of between Pensacola and Destin.
Okay.
We're going to fly into Pensacola, rent a car, drive over there to Navarre Beach. Man. Got a little beach house. Just going to go there and do a lot of nothing. It's in the beach.
Okay, so...
Maybe watch the Home Run Derby.
What about... Oh.
That's on Monday, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monday. The game's Tuesday, and then thanks a lot for being gone on the one day when there are literally no sports. Appreciate that on Wednesday.
I've offered to help, man. I've tried to, I don't know. I mean, I've given you suggestions of guests, maybe guest hosts. Who knows? No, that's the plan. So, I mean, I'm going to be out, which means, you know, my main job around here is news, and my obviously won't be covered. So my apologies to Elk City Tea and its Facebook page. You're not going to get any content from me for about a week. You're going to have to, you know, rip off someone else's work for a full week, Elk City Tea.
Man, I'm trying to find you. So my sister and brother-in-law, they go down to this area, not this necessarily area, but they go to Georgia to Vince's grandmother's every year, yep, for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, yep, or whatever. But they stay in Pensacola, just them, the girls. And there is a, golly, what is that restaurant? They always tell me about it. My nieces.
You know what I found out just before I came on the show?
What?
It is Blue Angels weekend in Pensacola.
Oh, how
this
cool.
Weekend. I'm hoping, I don't know. I don't know the plan. I know what time we're flying in and all that stuff. But we'll have time between when we fly in and when we can get into the actual house. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know the area. I've been to Pensacola one time and I was basically escorted around. So I don't even know how to get to where. So that'd be cool though, to see the Blue Angels.
Oh yeah.
That'd be neat.
Very cool. Man, none of these. I scrolled through about 80 places.
Believe me, I've looked up and down all the restaurants. There's two different ways to get to where we're going. And one is the fast way, which is more inland, mm-hmm, in a straight shot on an interstate and then down. The other way is more of a beach drive. A little longer and slower, but I was looking up and down this drive, and there are all those little local restaurants, beachside restaurants, thinking this is the what
it
we
It seems
need
like
to
an
do.
Easy choice to me.
Yeah, more scenic.
Yeah.
Again, we're going to have about 4 hours between the time we land and when we get into the house. We're going to have time to kill and maybe drive around, check the place out.
Probably be a good – you know what? That'd be a good time to do.
What's that?
Find where you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Toss the keys to your wife and say, Daddy's on vacay. Just go in and crush about 8 beers before you get into the house.
I did find from the beach house a walkable distance – family friendly, but bar and grill that has this outdoor deck.
What's
facing.
It called?
It's like beachside bar and grill.
But you're not. But you're not at Pensacola. You're down.
No,
further.
No. This is way down, okay, near Navarre Beach itself. Oh, so it. But just the pictures I've seen online, it looks fairly new, and the food looks good. They had like loaded fries and, you know, seafood type meals and burgers and fries, you know, whatever. But the selling point for me is the view and the beer. It's vacation. But and we'll do stuff. I know there's like a zoo, there's like a sea turtle sanctuary there. I think the girls
absolutely.
Yeah.
The turtle hospital.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That, I know all about the turtle hospital.
There's just tons of stuff. I also want to hit up a local seafood market.
Well, yeah.
And because we're at this house that has a grill and everything, full kitchen, and get some stuff to throw on the grill, some local flavor.
You know what else you could do?
What's that?
While you're having those daddies on vacay beers, go catch it. I mean, how more?
Yeah, we're close to the pier.
What's more manly than that?
Yeah, we're close to the pier there.
It's you and three girls.
Yeah.
A woman and two girls, I guess I should say. Three women.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, what's better than providing food for the women? Look out. You're going to look
well,
like,
you know,
maybe
I
even
mean,
wear like a Viking hat for this.
Yeah. I provide every day. Come
just
on.
Just throw it over their shoulder.
Think about it. I provide every day.
Like it was some kind of buffalo or something.
Just slam it down on the table.
Here it is.
Clean it, woman.
Dig in.
That would get me in trouble.
It might have just done that.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a rough way to start the weekend.
Yeah.
Or the week.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
Well, that'd be a lot of fun.
She's in a good mood. You know why? She's already in vacation mode.
Of course.
Nothing's making her mad.
I kind of am, too.
Yeah. No, we're good.
Sure makes the Nescatunga sound a little bit worse when you're talking about going to Florida. I get to go to Alva. I can't wait.
Oh, the weather's going to be good. You're not going to deal with 120 degree weather.
Yeah, last year it was literally like 120 when we were there, when I was there. So.
Well, every time I hear about this, it sounds like a fun
time. It's a blast. Trey going?
I don't know. I could ask him. I'm sure he is.
Have to run into Trey up there at the Nescatunga. Yep, just be me. Be me only next week. We got Jim on Monday. I did see that a guest I'd kind of been efforting is in the state of Oklahoma. Saw that last night on the Facebook. So
would that be, can you say who?
Nah, I don't want to. I don't want to make it feel like he has to do something he doesn't want to. But hopefully we might end up with a guest, a local guest that's making waves.
Cool.
Across the country and even internationally, if you want to go that far. I think I would. With some of the accomplishments he's made. So
cool.
I did see that he is in...
I'd hate to miss that.
So. In Oklahoma, so maybe we can... you got a little break in his schedule.
Let me know when, and I'll listen in.
Okay.
From the beach.
All right, we'll have fun next week.
I will.
We'll miss you, and we'll see you back. Man, when you get back, it's going to be a sprint to football season. You realize that?
One thing at a time.
It's going to be golf tournament. It's going to be golf tournament, then it's going to be, boom, football season.
Well, then the beach thing that we're doing. And then... Or not doing whatever.
I don't know.
And then the football, yeah. You know what's awesome about this football season?
What's that?
We're not have to worry. Are we playing Friday?
Oh, let's hope not.
Are we not? Are we going to play? Where are we going to play?
I wouldn't
is
be.
Is it there? Is it here?
I wouldn't
do
be
Do we got to
so sure.
wear a mask or not?
I wouldn't be. You know.
Where do we go?
I was getting my bag ready this morning.
Yeah.
And the last time we took that bag somewhere, it was to Branson back in like March.
Yeah.
Open it up. First thing I see, bam, 3 masks.
See ya. Well, you know what I got to do on a plane?
Mask up.
Mask up.
I can't wait to hear those stories when we get back. Have a great time. We'll be back Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.